Here, look at this. Okay, A and B people and traditional leaders. Oh, I see my grandma over there.
SHI President Rosita Worrell stands over a table of photographs of ancestors in regalia, Alaska Native Brotherhood meetings, and less formal gatherings, relaxing around a table for dinner.
Cyrus Peck, Dr. Sobeloff.
The collection spans from the 1940s all the way to the 70s and was donated by brothers Ray and Cy Peck, the sons of Cyrus Peck Sr., who published the newspaper Voice of the Brotherhood.
Remember, at this point in time, we don't have social media. We don't even have TV. So the newspaper print is really important in terms of educating people about what was going on, coalescing people into political action.
Some of the photos were taken by Ray Peck. He remembers his father giving him a Polaroid camera when he was a teen and asking him to take pictures of the Alaska Native Brotherhood.
I used the Polaroid because I could tell if something was good or bad, so I could always take another one right away.
He says at the time, he didn't know he was capturing history. He would paste the photos on freshly typed sheets from his dad's typewriter and run them off to the printer at the Juno Empire. After his dad passed away, he found boxes full of old newspapers and letters and thought,
get them in a safe place instead of sitting in my house.
Peck turned over the boxes to the William Paul Archives in the Walter Sobeloff Building. He donated correspondence between his dad and Paul, who was an important but sometimes divisive leader in the Brotherhood.
He had progressive ideas, and he stepped on a lot of feet.
You might not know attorney William Paul by name, but you're probably familiar with some of the stuff he did, fighting for voting rights, and the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act.
He is the father of land claims. He was the one that really brought it, you know, to the forefront.
At Tlingit, Paul was the first Native elected to office when Alaska was a territory, and he was a leader in the Alaska Native Brotherhood, the organization formed in 1912 to combat segregation and racism. Paul was later instrumental in this. Worrell says she knew him. She says he was a mentor growing up, but recognizes he was also controversial.
Both within the Native community and the non-Native community. The non-Native community thought he was arrogant, brash, and pushy.
She even calls some of his political activity unethical. In the 1920s, a historian says Paul became powerful by helping Alaska Natives vote for exactly who he wanted them to vote for. He was also accused of taking campaign donations from salmon canneries, an industry whose unsustainable practices he vilified. Worrell says tactics like this may be part of the reason he's not more well-known. Still, he's an important figure.
Here you have an indigenous population taking the laws of the oppressor to protect themselves. I should begin. The storm has broken. Roy Paradovich is angry.
Worrell reads a letter to Cyrus Peck Sr. from Paul. It's about segregation in the schools, dated March 1st, 1949.
From there, we went on and considered the entire problem of Indian education and what we.
With the newly acquired materials, she hopes scholars and individuals can piece together a complex narrative of Alaska Native civil rights.
Because more often, when you read histories, you know, Native people are seen as passive recipients of Western culture. They aren't viewed as the active individuals in pursuing these rights. So with these documents, we're able to demonstrate that. We're able to portray history from our perspective.
Worrell encourages the public to donate items as they find them. Ray Peck says he might have a few more boxes to rummage through back home. In Juneau, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins.